What is the safest bet this weekend, Dr. McCutcheon?
For whatever reason, George Kittle's receptions are over under 3.5, which means he needs to get what for over, Kristen? What number?
Two. Well, you said 1.5?
3.5.
Oh. Four. Yes.
Yeah. Right. So if he gets four or more, we hit. Have I said how beautiful and smart you are today?
Thank you.
100%. Okay, good.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Welcome back to the 1 o'clock hour. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jane Madnera on the board, and it is that time of the week where we welcome Dr. Michael McCutcheon to help us fix our lives and our lineups. Although the lineup kind of thing is basically over. Fantasy is over. You can still make some bets leading up to the Super Bowl, but there is no game this weekend. So what we're going to, in the second segment, when we come back from our first commercial, we'll talk a little bit more about the big news that happened yesterday in the NFL. But first, we're gonna talk about some life stuff. Dr. Michael McCutcheon works as an executive coach. He's been featured on NPR and in the New York Times, and of course, weekly on As Goes Wisconsin. He helps us tackle topics like career, love, fitness, and family. And he also happens to be my best friend of 15 years. And Michael, I gotta say, maybe not on air today, but as far as best friend advice stuff, I gotta call you later.
yeah, I have to call you too. We're gonna have to split our best friend airtime this weekend. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think we're both having a week. So Jane, we might have to patch you in too for some therapy too.
I'm totally there.
So maybe we just need, maybe Michael, you and I just need some lucky girl syndrome. Maybe that's what we're missing in our lives. Have you heard about the lucky girl syndrome that's making its rounds on the TikTok and other social medias?
I always catch everything late because I do not have L TikTok. I catch everything late. So I just get scraps. From you and from my clients, actually, my coaching clients will just say, "Hey, have you heard of this thing?" And I always go, "Oh yeah, sure." And then just Google it later because I don't want to sound too out of touch. I have heard about this thing, and I think we should probably play a clip of it or tell your audience a little bit more about it. But it's, I think we're going to hear some things that make us maybe think about something that reminds us maybe the secret. Or maybe the power of positive thinking or things like that. It's got some vibes of some other catchy phrases we've heard in the not too distant past. But I'm intrigued by it. So I'm excited to talk about it today on the show.
So we can't play the original video that kind of started this whole thing because there's too many curse words.
Okay.
We were listening to it at the break and we're like, we don't have enough time to bleep all these out because this is still live radio. And so basically, this is not... What this has all started, and this is not revolutionary. There is a young woman. I mean, when I say young, she's like 22, and she has a lot of followers on TikTok. So her name's Laura Galibay, and she's a 22-year-old creator who in December posted a TikTok about her very charmed life, and with the caption said, "Let's talk about the lucky girl syndrome," and it's her. She's hot, she's young, so her doing her makeup, and the whole video is basically about how her whole life just works out, and she just believes it's going to work out, and so the more she believes that things are going to happen to her and good things will come to her, the more good things do come to her, and she was just like, I found the video a little nauseating, and it's not necessarily because I don't believe in the power of positive thinking or manifesting, or there's this idea about like scripting your life and writing about, you know, writing in the present tense of things that you want to have, writing as if you already have them. And so less about this specific thing with this specific creator, but I think as someone who has his doctorate, also Maybe we'll come back. We'll talk about your feelings about Dr. Jill Biden and whether or not she should be called a doctor. Mm-hmm. That's a different day. But you have your doctorate in psychology. And how much of this secret, the secret or lucky girl or whatever we're calling it, is actually useful versus harmful?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of things have to do with how one leverages their, use whatever word you want to use, luck, their privilege, their place in life, right? Their circumstance, right? If I'm saying I'm lucky, everything comes to me, and so I'm very grateful for that, you know, how blessed I've been, that's one thing, right? If I'm flaunting it, I think it's a very different thing, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm talking to my friend who's struggling with their body, if they're struggling with weight loss, and I just go, I know that really stinks for you, as I'm eating a chocolate covered strawberry and saying, oh, I can't put on weight. it stinks, right? That is actually really, really cruel to do, right? As opposed to saying, I'm really grateful for this. I'm really blessed. I think one thing is that this person, it's the way we do something. I read a couple articles on some of the things that people were quote unquote manifesting, and some of the things that they're having people say. And I've got one clip that I read here. They said, please follow my daily affirmation. Say this affirmation for 21 days and watch how much money comes your way. And the affirmation is this, Kristen, quote, I get paid to exist. Wealth is my birthright. Now, I can imagine how that would drive some folks absolutely crazy to hear that, right? That would make some people say, you're kind of wacky and kind of putting people's nose in this idea of materialism and things like that. So I don't know. I think, like, you know, using this lucky girl thing is sort of saying that I'm lucky and the rest of you are sort of not, right? I'm beautiful and I've got all these things. I've got, I've won the genetic Olympics, which means you've lost, right? And so I think if we're putting ourselves up by putting someone else down by contrast, that's not the way to sort of do it. But if we can sort of say, here's what I do, as far as karma is concerned, whatever you put back out in the universe comes back out to you. Put positive vibes out there and you will get positivity back out to you. That's probably a good thing too. So I think it really has to do with not just what you're doing, but how you're doing it. It's the spirit of the thing, don't you think?
But I think that's my question. So as someone who has a lot of clients, and as we say every week when you join the show, again, we're told this is our segment, Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life, and your lineup with Dr. Michael McCutcheon every Thursday at 1. We tackle topics like career, love, fitness, and family. And so with your clients, when you are, and you don't give advice, like as a coach, you coach people through to come to their own solutions and find their... I mean, same thing with like psychologists. You don't necessarily give people advice, but as far as, is this anything you would even recommend as far as in order to have your, so much of your own destiny is also tied to your attitude. Is that something that you as a professional subscribe to?
To a certain extent. Yeah, I do think so. I do. And I think, I do think that the first person who has to believe that one's circumstance is going to change is you, right? I mean, if you walk into any room, you know, a lot of people come to me for a career. I would say that, you know, anywhere between 30 and 50% of people come to me for some kind of career change, right? They want something to be different there. You know, no one is going to believe that you can do something different than what you're already doing, something better than you're already doing. They're not going to want to promote you, or they're not going to want to have you go get a graduate degree, or want to believe that your business can do something, you know, that you can start a new business before you can, right? So you have to first believe that, right? And so if you're saying, I don't believe in myself, or I never can do this, or whatnot, I will, you know, metaphorically give them a good shake and sort of say it does actually start with you, that you've got to get your mindset around it until you can envision what that actually looks like, until you can actually see yourself, you know, succeeding in a leadership role, right? Until you can see yourself do those sorts of things. No one's going to believe it first. You have to believe it, right? You've got to be the creator of that vision. And I don't mean that in just like a spiritual way, like see a vision. I mean it very tangibly. Write it out. What does it look? What does that office look like? What is, you know, what does the degree on your wall look like? What does your bank account look like? What you know, when it's different? What does that tangibly mean? In your life, you know, everybody's got a reason for having self-doubt. Everybody's got a sob story of being rejected or having somebody having told them that they couldn't or that they shouldn't or why it won't work out. We all have that, all of us. Great, take it, process it, move on, right? What's tomorrow's story? What's next year's story? If you don't have that, nobody's gonna wake you up in the morning and say, "Come on, champ, I believe in you. Let me walk you down to the office and fill out your application and go tell a boss like why you should be promoted." That's gotta be you, right? So I do think there really is to this. So for advice is concerned, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but I will advise people to start there, start with themselves.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we are going to break for our first commercial. When we come back, we have a question about love and dating, and we're going to talk a little bit about a certain person's retirement, knock on wood for good. This is Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life on As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Personal file, 69, offense. He was giving them the business.
Is your love life a fantasy? Having issues with your fantasy football roster? Helping with football and your love life, here's your new best friend, Dr. Mike.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. So live your life.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is that time of the week when we are talking to my best friend, Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is here to help us fix our lives. And at least for the last 16 weeks, he was helping us fix my lineup and other people's lineup because he is somewhat of a fantasy football savant. But we are going to get back into answering people's questions. If you have a question ever for Dr. Mike, you can either text us 844-967-2789. Otherwise, next week, if you want to email us something during the week, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us, and we will pick your question. And so for now, though, Dr. Mike, our question is about love and dating. So Hey, Dr. Mike, I'm a 35-year-old guy, and I've been casually dating recently, but can't seem to get excited about getting serious with anyone yet. All of my friends are either getting married or in long-term relationships, but I keep going on 1 to 3 dates with women and then abruptly moving on. Even though I tell myself I want to have a family someday, I don't feel ready for commitment right now. I feel like I'm too old to keep doing this. What should I do? Should I bite the bullet and settle down?
That's a tough one, right? When you see people around you, and you know other people are getting married or engaged, or they've been with people for a long time and they're moving in. It's hard because we feel like we should be doing this sort of stuff, but we feel differently in our hearts. It's hard with family too, because we have parents who say, "I want grandchildren," and "All I want to do is see you happy before I die." Grandma says, you know, all that sort of stuff. It's really hard for us to do that. I think the most important thing is for us to be really honest with where we are. I'll speak for myself, just to be totally transparent, since this is a very open and loving, transparent show. I didn't get married until I was nearly 40 years old. George Clooney didn't get married until he was nearly 125 years old, right? I think it's Leonardo DiCaprio's 90 years old and still dating 26-year-olds, right? So that's his thing. You got to be honest with who you are and where you are. Career is important to you right now. Maybe commitment's not the thing for you right now. Maybe it never will be, and that's also okay. You just keep doing what you're doing. I think the most important thing is being honest with yourself. But also a very, 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 very close second is I would be honest with these women too. Please don't ghost these people. If you're going on 1 to 3 dates with them, be honest, sort of upfront. Make sure that you're saying, this is kind of what I'm doing right now. This is what I'm looking for, what I'm not looking for. If they are looking for something long term, you are going on a first or second date with them, don't leave them wondering that something might be wrong with them or that they did something wrong. Make sure that you call or send a text at least, right, to say, hey, you were great. I had fun. I'm just not looking for anything serious. And so good luck to you, so that they're not just, sitting around wondering. So be honest with yourself. Don't just quote unquote bite the bullet and settle down, as you said. You'll know when the right one comes along. You'll know when it's time, if it's ever time, and do the right thing and be not just honest with yourself, but honest with them.
And that phrase, Dr. Mike, really jumped out to me. Going into a long-term relationship or a marriage shouldn't be a punishment. If you're looking at it like, oh, I'm just going to bite the bullet and do it, then maybe that's not such a good idea.
I almost called you Dr. Jane. That was so good. Yes, Dr. Jane. Absolutely. It's just, bite the bullet is getting a prostate exam. That shouldn't be marriage, right? I mean, we bite the bullet when we go to our accountant and pay our taxes. It shouldn't be like, the joy of marriage and starting a family. You're absolutely right. So, if you're thinking about quote unquote settling down, it should be a joyous thing. You're totally right there.
All right. Well, moving on. There is no football this week, but big news, Tom Brady retired again. So, a football question this week. What will it do to the state of Wisconsin if Aaron Rodgers decides to retire or to even demands a trade to another team?
This should be a Kristen question, since you are the heart of Wisconsin.
Oh, I don't know.
Kristen Bry. But I can't. I will just say I think he should stay. You've got a good young team. You have a good draft pick. I think he just did a holdout and got all the money in the world. I think he should stay. I think it would, crush. I don't know. I think it would crush a lot of young fans' dreams if he left. But I will leave it up to you to answer this. I will say he should stay. I don't know what it would do. I'll leave that up to you, Kristen. What would it do to the state of Wisconsin?
I feel like a lot of people in the state of Wisconsin are ready for him to – I don't know if they're ready for him to be traded because there's, like, Brett Favre all over again, but I feel like they're kind of ready to move on in a lot of ways. But also, this comes from Paul Noonan, who is one of our Packer pundits, who made a really good point, like, mid-season as far as – Aaron Rodgers does not want to retire the same year as Tom Brady and be inducted into the Hall of Fame the same year as Tom Brady, because he is going to be, to steal Paul's words, second banana. And so I don't think he's going to retire. I don't know if he'll be traded. We may have another year with him. And who knows, maybe when he doesn't have a broken thumb, he'll be a lot better. We'll have a better season. It's yet to be seen. But for now, Dr. Mike, thank you for another rendition of Dr. Mike Fixes Your Life and Your Lineup. We'll be back next week with more questions and also some prop bets to get Jane really excited for the Super Bowl. Thank you, my friend, and I will certainly be calling you later.
All my love to you both. See you next week.
All right, stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Lined up, your guys at the burger meet. Again, of course, we're speaking in the figurative sense. What's the use of even going through the motions when you know that you're gonna lose anyhow? So why don't you save us all some time and give up? Put your pants up. Say it loud. Say it loud. On the Civic Media Network, no matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network, thank you for joining us in the 1 o'clock hour. We are going to wrap up today's show with one of my favorite guests. It's his second time back, and he shines all year long, but we're invited him today because it is Black History Month. It's day two. Derek Mosley, former judge of the Milwaukee Municipal Court, where he was there for 20 years, but now the newly minted director of Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. Welcome back to the show.
How are you, my friend?
We are great. We are
great.
Thriving. We're here. We're reveling in the four seasons and all the glory it brings to us.
Right. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Yes. And so I'm so happy. I think I fangirled a little too hard yesterday. I shared your day one Black history knowledge all across all social media. We read it on air. But for people who maybe missed that yesterday or who are unaware of what you, I have to imagine, spend a lot of time doing in this month to do 28 separate posts. Give us a little background about what this project is that you just kind of came up with.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. How it all started was my mom grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they eventually moved to Denver, but she grew up in Tulsa. And I remember her telling me when I was a kid about the Tulsa race riots back in the 1920s. And I had never heard of it before. And I remember going to my teacher and telling my teacher, hey, you ever heard of the Tulsa race riots? Like, no, never heard of it. And so I went back and told my mom that never happened. It never happened, right? And lo and behold, not only did it happen, we just celebrated the 100-year anniversary, right, a couple of years ago. And so that's led me on this mission. I have to find out. I'm not getting the whole story here about things that are happening. So I decided to start researching things, not only for my benefit, but for the benefit of my two girls. And so that's how this all started.
And so how many years have you been doing this?
This will be the 13th year.
Wow. And how many? So basically, it's a different post every day on your Instagram, Facebook. Do you post it anywhere else?
LinkedIn.
And it's about, what, 200 to 300-word summary of a story that's pretty unknown as far as getting out of kind of the MLK, Rosa Parks, like some of the heroes that we do learn about, and dig a little bit deeper. So yesterday it was about the three other girls that aren't as known than Ruby Bridges. And
correct.
What was today's story?
So today's story was about the Clotilda. And the Clotilda was the last slave ship that made the journey from Africa to what is now America. And this was back in 1860, roughly. And on that ship were there was 109 people who were taken from Africa and brought over here. But I focused on the three last remaining survivors of that trip. And they were young kids at the time of this trip. But slavery ended in 1865. They came over this on the ship. It was illegal to keep doing the slave trade that way. So the ship was actually burnt and scuttled in the river, the Mobile River. And so these three, once they were released as a result of the Emancipation Proclamation, they got together with other formerly enslaved Africans and bought. They tried to raise money to go back to Africa, but they couldn't get that much money. But they got enough money to buy 3 acres of land outside of Mobile, Alabama. So if you're familiar with Mobile, it's called the Plateau Area. And so they got the money to get these 3 acres. And on these 3 acres, they created this town, a self-sufficient black community, had schools, had churches, had groceries, things of that nature, called Africatown. And Africatown still exists to this day. And in fact, it's on the National Historic Registry of the United States.
There you go. Another thing I did not know. And so in 13 years, you said you've been doing this. Do you do repeats, or is it new is this 28 new ones each year?
Well, it sometimes repeats, right? Okay. It repeats because, you know, you get new followers, you get new people joining on. And so I like to, you know, just like history books, right? You took history from first grade to, 12th grade, and you heard the same stories, right? But with a different spin. And so I try to do that. And, you know, we just talked about the three people on that ship, you know, so it was Cudjoe Lewis, Radoshi, and Matilda McCrea were those last three. And the fact that they were the last surviving members, the reason why I wanted to bring that story to everybody's attention is because when Cudjoe died in 1935, Radoshi died in 1937, and Matilda McCrea died in 1940. So to put that in perspective for you, the last survivors of the transatlantic slave trade died when Betty White was 18 years old, when Queen Elizabeth was 13 years old, and when Dustin Hoffman and Jack Nicholson were 3 years old. And I wanted to tell the story because we've been told that our past is ancient, right? But we are much closer to our past than we've been led to believe.
And that is, that is wild to wrap your brain around far as the actual timeline of things. Because we talked about that yesterday of how Ruby Bridges, Gail, Leona, and I'm blanking on the fourth person's.
Gail Etienne and Leona Tate.
Yes, thank you. And they're 68.
68, right?
That's my parents' age.
Right. So your parents lived in a time where blacks couldn't go to school with whites. In fact, my mom actually went to a segregated high school. Because she lived in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. And so she went to a segregated high school. So when people talk about this, it happened so long ago. I'm like, my mom's not so long ago, right? And so it's important that we understand these stories and make a push for them now, because there's this effort to not teach it at all, which is just insane to me.
It is.
Derek, I want to go back to your mom just for a second. Again, when you found out in school about the Tulsa race riots and then, or you heard about it and you went back to your mom and said, that didn't happen. What did she respond with?
So you mean after I woke up from being knocked out? So when I came to, she just said, I'm telling you, this is the truth. You got to believe it. And, here I am siding with, you're a teenager, right? So I'm siding with this teacher who's telling me that this never happened. And my mom, who lived in Tulsa and had family members who were part of it, are telling me it did happen. And needless to say, she was upset. But when I started on this journey, she was the first person there helping me out.
How did your teacher respond?
My teacher responded, this never happened.
Continued to maintain that it never happened.
Correct. Yeah, that never happened.
Can I ask if it was a white teacher or a black teacher?
Well, it was a white teacher.
Okay.
And remember, this is before the internet, right? And so everything that we had for information were in books that we could find at libraries and what have you. So what happened with the internet was that it just made it so much easier to find this information.
Yeah.
And now it's out, and we celebrated the 100-year anniversary, right? And people were just learning about this. It was the first time that a bomb, literally a bomb, because a farmer had put together a bunch of ammonium and stuff into a glass cylinder and flew his crop duster over Tulsa and dropped it on the black part of Tulsa. So it was the first time a bomb ever was dropped on the United States. And we don't tell this story.
We don't tell that story. And so we're talking to Derek Mosley, former Milwaukee Municipal Court judge, newly minted director of Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center. That's such a long title. What do you say for short right now? Now that you're in there, you've been in there for a month.
Yeah, I've been in there for 13 days.
Oh wow!
So I just say Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center.
All right, that's a lot easier. All right, so I do want to get to the new job, but before we move on,
yeah.
So with how much, like you said, there's some that repeat because you do get new followers, but how much on top of your day job work do you put into this every year?
So during the course of the year, I'm doing stories. And my sister, who lives down in Chicago, does the same thing. So we also swap stories.
Okay.
So it makes it a lot easier. And we're compiling all these stories to put a book out together. I couldn't put the book out while I was a judge because you're not allowed to get other income while you're on the bench.
Got it.
But now that I'm off the bench, I'm able to do this. So my sister and I have been compiling these stories for books to be sold to schools. Heaven forbid they don't get banned, but books to be, you know, sold out to school. So we're really excited about it.
I did not know that. That's really exciting. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So with that, I guess transitioning over to Black history being made today. I'm very excited. I literally registered this morning for the event that's coming up on March 21st with our historic Black leaders who are the first in their position in Milwaukee. And so tell us more about the event.
Yeah, so two things I want to say real quick. First, the power of social media. So we talked about these stories and how I've been putting them out. I put a story out about the oldest park ranger, United States park ranger. She's 100 years old. Her name is Betty Soskin. That one story got shared a million times. And so, I mean, it's just the power of social media is amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. So anyway, so back to the event on March 21st. So on March 21st, we have Mayor of Milwaukee, Cavalier Johnson. We have the Milwaukee County Executive, David Crowley. We have the Common Council President, Jose Perez. And we have the County Board's President, Milwaukee County Board President, Marcelia Nicholson. And the reason why I wanted to bring them in to the Lubar Center is because in the 177-year history of the city of Milwaukee, it's the first time that all of those positions are held by people of color, which is amazing, one. And two, three of those four people are millennials. And so this is a new generation, a new look, a new feel for a city that's 50% people of color. And so for the first time, someone who looks like half of the population will be in control of that form of government.
And as someone who, as we talked about the last time you were here, I would say, objectively, is still pretty new to Milwaukee. And it's been, even in such a short period of time, and despite all of the challenges that the city is facing, to see the energy and I think the enthusiasm that they're all bringing to trying to be innovative in some of the problem solving and the solutions that we need to think about, and the compromise and the relationship building. And so it's been really great to see, I think, that kind of young leadership, especially as we talk about how old some of our federal politicians and judges are. And so seeing young leadership and what, like, it's such an example of what it can look like if we just elect them.
And you know what's so great? All four of them grew up in the central city of Milwaukee. I mean, David Crowley, the county executive, grew up in 53206. Yeah. And then you have Cavalier Johnson also. And on the south side, we had Jose Perez. They all lived in in neighborhoods that we would consider to be, you know, not so pleasant. And so they grew up in a time when these neighborhoods were struggling. They went through the crack epidemic and now the heroin epidemic. And they went through all of this. And so they bring that experience to their jobs, which I love. I can't wait for this conversation.
I know. I'm so excited. I signed Mike and I up this morning. So we'll be there in person. But people can register to be, it's going to be both virtual and in person, right?
That's absolutely correct. We prefer people to come in person just because, you know, you can interact easier. Our virtual is a stream, so you're not able to ask questions of the guests. And so they're open to any questions. So if you can, please come in person. And I really wanted you to come to our first event, February 26th. We are hosting, because it's Black History Month, as we're talking about, at the old Turner Hall, which is now called Turning Tables. We have an event called The Contribution of African Americans to American Cuisine. And so I had four African American chefs, and we're going to talk about all the things that we eat. And it's going to be a course meal, all the things that we eat as part of the American palate that were brought to us by enslaved Africans. And so I wanted to invite you to that, but when we put it up, it sold out in an hour and a half. So
wow.
I know. I apologize.
Oh, you just gave us a menu we can't have, Derek.
I know.
Like, oh. You wanted to invite me. That sounds like it's in the future. It does not sound like it was right? January 26th.
Well,
it sounds like it's... is there a waiting list in case anyone drops out?
There is a waiting list. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to pass that waiting list. People are they're clamoring to get together to eat and the fellowship bring people together, which is what we're all about at the Lubar Center.
Well,
but okay. I'm going to give you a heads up real quick.
Okay.
We're going to do this for every Heritage Month. So May is Asian Heritage Month. And I've already collaborated with Elevation, which is a group here in Milwaukee. We're going to have all the different types of cuisine that make up Asian food. So Japanese, Chinese, Thai. And we're going to do the same exact event with chefs of those nationalities and ethnicities and different food. And they will talk to you about the food. You'll be able to eat that as well. So May. We have a – so here's the best way. You need to follow the Lubar Center.
That's exactly. And, I was going to say, is there a newsletter? Yeah. Just follow it on social media?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways you could do it. So the first way you could do it is I tell people just to follow us on LinkedIn. It's Marquette University Law School Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education, the long name.
We only got 30 seconds left, so I'm going to have you email me all that information so I can share it with the audience. But Derek Mosley, always such a treat to have you on. Thank you for all the work that you do.
Love you, my friend.
Follow him on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back. She is a foodie. She owns a restaurant. And she has very strong feelings about tater tots and how they should be presented.
Chefs in particular try to recreate a tater tot. It's highly offensive to me.
This is how you live your life. Passionately. It is National Tater Tot Day, and we wanted Francesca Hong,
yes.
Representative Francesca Hong from Madison, to repeat her rant about tater tots. But unfortunately, because she has a real job, she had prior engagement, so she could not join us live on the show today. But we just instead had to replay when she was on the show and talk to us about being a tater tot purist.
Yes, I just love how she finds it so highly offensive. It's hilarious.
But I will say, I think I did not grow up. Taco John's been around for a long time. We have a Taco John's very close to our studio in downtown Waukesha. My husband loves Taco John's, and I wonder what her. I'm so curious, and maybe I'll have to text her after the show because that is a little bit of a departure from a tater tot because they're thinner. Potato Olays are thinner.
Yes.
I like them because they're the outside crispiness ratio to the inside hash brown ratio is there's more crispiness than the softness of like the Oneida version that she was like, Oneida gets it right. Don't screw it up. And I think the seasoning's a little differently.
You mean Oreida?
Is it Oreida?
Oreida.
Oneida is definitely the...
The tribe.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been a day.
I know.
Leave me alone, Jane.
It's Thursday. It's fine. I just thought I'd throw in that a little correction.
And I'm trying, because I would say those, if those can be, if potato Olays can be considered tater tots, I think I have to say that they're my favorite.
Well, we're going to have to bring Francesca back on sometime so we can have this debate.
Yes.
Now I think people are perched on the edge of their chairs. I know I am. I want her determination on whether or not potato Olays come under the tater tot umbrella.
Or, what is the, or are they just their own thing?
They could be in a category all of their own.
Or are they just baby hash browns?
That are round.
Because that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of the McDonald's hash brown that's just bigger, but it's just like the little flat pancake looking hash brown that's also very crispy. That I love. And I also love crispy bacon. So I just don't like mushy things. I want things to be.
Have some crunch.
Crunch.
And and let's not forget that cheese sauce for the potato Olays. Or do you not like the cheese sauce? No?
My husband's a very big sauce person. I'm like mediocre on, like, I like it, you know, a little bit. One of the first questions he asked me when we were still just on the dating app and we hadn't actually met in person, but because I was still in Wisconsin Rapids and he was in Milwaukee and we were getting to know each other, he randomly out of the blue texted me and said, "What's your feeling on ketchup?"
This is a make or break question, Kristen.
And I was like, "What?" Like, the what? And I said, "It's fine. Like, I eat it in appropriate ways with appropriate foods as far as putting it on, you know, French fries and a burger." And lo and behold, this person puts ketchup on literally everything.
Your husband puts ketchup on everything?
My husband puts ketchup on white rice.
Oh, ew. No.
I swear, when we first started dating, I made, you know what a Buddha bowl is?
No.
It's like healthy. It's kind of this idea of like complementary ingredients, like Brussels sprouts. It's like a superpower food type bowl where you can put like cooked vegetables in with some kind of grain.
Quinoa and yeah.
Yeah. And it's healthy. And so I made like make your own Buddha bowl. So I had all like different bowls with different things that you could put together and then the sauces, but like things that were not ketchup sauces. And I swear to God, he just smothered his in ketchup. Oh. I was like, these are not complimentary flavors, Michael.
See, you should have been apparently the one to ask about ketchup.
Apparently. And so, I am like a mediocre, like, yeah, like I like some sauce, but if something's drenched in mayo, too much.
Yeah.
Like sushi, going to sushi restaurants and having some of those crazy rolls that you can't even taste the fish because there's so much spicy mayo or eel sauce or something on there. Like I like an appropriate amount of condiment sauces, but I want to actually be able to taste the real food. See, and not just the gooiness.
Yeah.
Smothered in it.
In the sushi instance, I would take the stuff that's smothered in spicy mayonnaise.
Are you not a sushi person?
So I don't have to taste the raw fish.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Not a fan. So what do you order if you ever go to a Japanese restaurant?
Is it the California roll that has that eensy beansy little teeny tiny piece of tuna in the middle that you can barely taste because it's surrounded by lettuce and other stuff?
Well, a California roll is either going to be fake crab or real crab.
Well, I've had some, again, whatever it was.
Whatever the California roll was.
It just had this tiny little piece of fish that you can barely taste.
And if it's crab, it's cooked.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit of crab meat or a little bit of fake crab meat. And I think it's an avocado, maybe a carrot, and I think some sauce on it.
Yeah.
So
Sauce it up for me.
Good to know. What Asian, and now that we're, Mr. Mosley told us about, well, we're missing out on the Black History Month cooking, which I'm actually very bummed about. But for the Elevation one and for Asian AAPI.
In May.
What is your go-to Asian cuisine that you really could eat daily?
I like Thai food.
Mm-hmm. Like curry spice or pad Thai?
Curry.
Okay.
And I guess that, I mean, I'm not familiar with Japanese cuisine.
I just think teriyaki. Beyond sushi, it'd be like teriyaki.
Sure.
But it's a lot of fish.
It is a lot of fish. And I'm not going to eel.
Have you tried eel?
No.
It's pretty good.
It's,
and the sauce is like pretty sweet.
Is it? What's the texture like?
Like duck.
Oh,
I would say it's kind of oily, like duck is.
Okay,
you could do eel. I think. Don't do uni.
What? I don't even know what that is.
Uni is sea urchin.
Oh,
and it's like the big kind of orange,
the spiky ones.
It's yeah, but it's like the actual meat of it. It's like this orange puree.
Ew.
That tastes like the ocean. It definitely tastes like the ocean.
Yeah, you're really selling me on that one.
I said, if you're not a sushi fan, there's a lot of things I would have you try. Not uni.
Not so much that.
All right. Well, we survived the day. We got one more day till the end of the week. Come back tomorrow for our Friday show at 11 a.m. But for now, stick around for Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Like a French fry in circular form, and it's 50 times. circular form is 50 times better. I want size. I want size. I want size. I want size.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.